And a very good morning to you. How are you doing this Sunday morning, October 7th, 2018? Hope you're well. It's lovely. It's a lovely bright one here in South Manchester. I've been observing the tweets. I've received quite a few tweets this morning with photographs of apparent chemtrailing. And yes, I take those on board. But where I am, it seems to be pretty normal. Good morning. Hope you've had a good weekend. I've had a lovely weekend, a busy one, but a lovely one. This is Sunday View. Between now and midday, I'm going to look at the front pages of the Sunday newspapers here in the UK, but also at some of the stories inside, some interesting things in the papers today. I look forward to your comments as well. As usual, you can tweet at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. That's my Twitter handle. There's something you'd like to mention, maybe something I've overlooked. Tweet me now. Don't scream later on. Tweet now. Tweet now between now and midday. This is Sunday View. Thanks for joining me.
Asking the questions mainstream journalists will never ask. This is your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv.
And I almost thought I wouldn't make it today. Not because of any exertions yesterday, but there was a technical problem, and I thought if I don't make it, they'll never believe me. Technical problem was ironed out about 25 minutes ago. Anyway, welcome.
It's the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Yeah, what happened this morning was the computers in the studio are networked together on a... connected, of course, to a hub, and I couldn't get on the internet. I could stream, but I couldn't get on the internet to do stuff at the desk in the studio. And I thought, they know that, because I told my friends, my listeners on social media, that I've been out watching Jeff Lynne and ELO over the weekend here in Manchester. And I said, they'll never believe it if I don't turn up. So I was going to turn up one way or the other. This is Sunday View then. Let's get rid of the music. Yeah, I've had a lovely weekend watching Jeff Lynne's ELO at Manchester Arena. Wonderful. Anybody who was there Friday or Saturday, it was an extraordinary thing. And when you love a band, when you love a man, because ELO is Jeff Lynne, as much as I love him and his music, going back years and years, collecting all the old vinyl albums, never having seen him live, never thought I would get to see him live, but to see him over the weekend, Friday and Saturday, was a dream come true for me. It was a wonderful couple of days. Very tired now, of course, but exhilarated as well, very late getting to bed earlier this morning. But anyway, I would never not turn up just because I went out and had a few beers. It's an unwritten rule in radio land, if there is such a place. Don't miss the show because you've had a few beers. There's no excuse for that. 3 minutes past the hour then. Let's have a look at the front pages of the Sunday papers. Like I already said, we can chat, you and I, via Twitter. So it's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. That's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. Let's have a rundown of the front pages of the paper. Some good stuff today and some interesting articles inside the papers. I'll tell you what I did, actually. Because I couldn't get online in terms of the computers in front of me, but I can stream. Well, I can do it all now, but earlier on when I couldn't get on, I went out and I bought some of the Sunday papers. Murphy's Law! I spent a few bob on the papers, and when I came back, the problem had rectified itself. But I have the papers here in front of me, which isn't ordinarily the case. But let's have a look at the Sunday Observer. We'll start with that. And the headline there is, May bids for centre ground with appeal to Labour voters. What's that about? Well, I'll read you a little bit of it. I won't bore you with it. It's basically about Theresa May trying to persuade Labour supporters to switch to the Conservatives. She's after more centrist, more moderate Labour supporters. And to quote her article for The Observer exclusively, she says she is campaigning for decent, moderate and patriotic programme. A decent, moderate and patriotic programme. And that it is worthy of the support of centrist Labour supporters. So this is Theresa May trying to get this mythical centre ground, going after Blairites, maybe, who still vote Labour, and suggesting that Comrade Corbyn will be doom and gloom for the country and all the rest of it. Blah, 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 blah. some listeners will be, well, what is the Sunday Observer, which is part of the Guardian group, what is it doing giving Theresa May the opportunity to pen an article? It's an attempt to say that we might be a left-wing newspaper, but we are very balanced. Look, we gave Theresa May an article. Right. Now, forget about that nonsense. Also on the front page of the Sunday Observer is an interesting article, and it piqued my interest today, and I'm sure it will pique yours. And maybe, if like me, you've been up early listening to the radio shows and watching the TV shows, you will have come across this story. Prepare to be annoyed, my friend. Prepare to be annoyed. The headline. Well, you've just heard the Sunday Observer headline, but also on the front page is this story. UK's musical stars rail against botched Brexit. What could that mean? UK's musical stars rail against botched Brexit. Now, this is a laugh. Some of the country's most celebrated composers, producers and performers have joined together to issue a stark warning that the vast voice of the music industry will be silenced inside a self-built cultural jail. Wow. If Britain crashes out of the European Union. Wait for this, dear listener. Prepare to be triggered. An angry open letter to the Prime Minister, drafted by Bob Geldof, claims that a botched Brexit will wreak havoc and seriously damage a creative sector worth an estimated £4.4 billion a year. Its signatories include Damon Albarn, Jarvis Cocker, Brian Eno, John Elliott Gardner, Bobby Gillespie, Howard Goodall, we'll hear from that dickhead in a minute, Johnny Marr, Nick Mason, Alan McGee, Rita Ora, William Orbit, Simon Rattle, Ed Sheeran, dickhead, Paul Simon, what the fuck? I went to see Paul Simon with Jean-Anne Crowley, the great, wonderful friend of mine and Caroline's only, back in, when was it? Was it July? I can't remember now. Was it July? It was. I wish I could take it back now. Neil Tennant, Roger Taylor and Sting. Fuck off, Sting, will you? Are you still around whinging? He obviously is. Geldof circulated the letter to his contacts, a roll call of Britain's rock and classical establishment. Establishment is a good word here, right? Anyway, this is just crap. Shall we hear a bit from Howard Goodall? Who's he? Well, he's a composer of music. And among his achievements are composing. He composed the theme from Red Dwarf, Blackadder, Mr. Bean and some other stuff. So, he was, sweaty, dirty, grimy, smelly, stinky, rotten Bob Geldof. Just when you think you can't despise the man anymore, Geldof. Geldof on the Thames sticking his fingers up at people and swearing at them. You hypocritical bastard, Richie. I do drop the odd swear bomb, but I don't swear at people aggressively and I don't stick my fingers up at people with whom I disagree. I hate Geldof. Anyway, Sky News did interview the composer of Mr. Bean theme song, Howard Goodall. And what did Goodall say about this? Why are the artists coming to save us all from Brexit?
If you're a band or you're a DJ or you're an orchestra, you move across these borders. You use Europe as your home market, and it's an enormous market, and you can move easily, you can move your equipment, there's no stops at the border, you don't have to get work permits, etc., etc. And although the people who've written this letter are high profile, very successful, I'm the least famous person on the whole list, are very successful and they do very well out of music, and of course they sell to the whole world. Most of the people who make their living in music or the creative arts or in design actually are not incredibly wealthy and incredibly successful. They're trying to make a living, and they make their living in the modern world across borders. They sell their services, they work, they get on a train, tomorrow they're in Berlin.
The criticism will be that before we were in the EU, the British music industry was a global pioneer. We had huge bands, biggest bands in the world, going over to the European countries, to the States, recording albums in studios there.
Yes. Well,
why is it going to be different?
Well, first of all, it's a completely different world from 50 years ago. We have 750 trade deals with countries all around the world through the EU. We don't. It's like I'm trying to unscramble scrambled eggs. We now exist in this interwoven world. The modern music industry is incredibly interwoven in a way it wasn't in 1960. And yes, the Beatles went to Hamburg. They were paid terribly. It was very difficult for them. They have all sorts of difficulties getting there, all sorts of difficulties getting back. And yes, that was a different world. They could go to America. British stars can still go to America. It's incredibly complicated. I worked in America last year. It's incredibly complicated to get a visa to go and work in America.
Nonsense. It isn't. Not for a band, for a touring band. It isn't. Getting a visa isn't easy for the United States, but it isn't incredibly complicated. And there are a number of organizations in the US that specifically work with and help musicians traveling from Europe to get that visa for that time period they're going to be in America. And they do that for big bands, small bands, very unknown bands, and so on, so on. That's just bullshit, that. And to be fair to the Sky News presenter, he's not as experienced or as old as I am. And he should have jumped in there and said, that's not true, but anyway.
Work in America. It's time-consuming, it's bureaucratic, it's more red tape, and it's expensive. So we become less competitive as people selling our services.
Nonsense. Is this really about musicians? You gotta love these guys. Geldof is the same. They pretend that they're doing this for the smaller, lesser-known musicians. Bullspit. They couldn't give a damn about them. It's more about sabotaging Brexit. And Goodall gives the game away in this next clip, because a couple of minutes after what he just said, he then said this. It's all about not respecting or acknowledging the result of the June 2016 vote. Goodall again. Howard Goodall, composer.
And just to be clear where you're coming from here, if there is a deal that enables the freedom of movement that the music industry would like to see and...
No such deal is on the table.
If there is, though, are you happy for Brexit to happen? Because people look at this letter and say they just don't want Brexit to happen. And as you've said, it's a lot of famous people that the kind of money that Brexit isn't going to affect.
But our industry is the same for many, many industries. The modern world is. We benefit from the single market enormously. And yes, you know, musicians sound like they're a luxury thing in our world. In fact, they're not. To our country, it's a really important export. It's a big earner for us. It's really important to us.
It won't affect multimillionaires like Goodall at all. They couldn't give a damn about traveling musicians. What has Bob Geldof or Bono ever done for aspiring musicians? In reality, you can point to one or two things, but you have a couple of token gestures here and there over the years, the setting up of an independent label maybe, which doesn't last very long and is abandoned by the superstar musician. They don't give a damn about anybody. Most of them domicile their businesses in tax haven countries around the world, as Bono does, for example. They are lousy bastards, these people. They are gazillionaires and couldn't give an arse about those musicians whom are not as famous, but in many cases are far superior to them. Anyway, like I said, he gives the game away. Wait till you hear him describe the referendum as a dodgy referendum.
I wouldn't personally respect an FA Cup win that had been got because of match fixing or because someone had changed the rules of the game.
I wouldn't respect an FA Cup victory because of match fixing or because someone changed the rules of the game. Strong words there. Dodgy referendum.
But let's say we do respect a slightly dodgy referendum. The fact of the matter is the information has changed. There are lots of Leave voters out there, hundreds of thousands, possibly even millions, who voted with all sincerity with a certain set of information. They were told by Brexit campaigners, we can stay in the single market, you stay in the customs union, it's all going to be the same, your business won't be...
That's a massive lie there. And again, the presenter does not jump in and hammer him there. He said that Brexit campaigners promised all along that you could stay. If we did vote to leave, it would be great, we would leave, but that we could still stay in the single market and customs union. That's a lie. And I'm not going to waste your time, dear listener, by playing that clip again that I've played 1,000 times of Cameron, of George Osborne, who were Remain voters, by the way. But the Brexiteers like Boris Johnson, Nigel Farage, David Davis, they specifically said a vote to leave means leaving the customs union and means leaving the single market. This guy's a liar, this composer, and I'm going to call him a liar. And the presenter should have stopped him right there and said there was no ambiguity. When they campaigned, they did say out means out. They specifically said you've got to leave the single market and the customs union to free yourself up as an independent country to do deals where you want to do them. This is shamefaced lying by an establishment composer, and a Sky News presenter is too weak to stop him in his tracks.
Can't be affected. That has turned out not to be true. And we now know with new information this is going to negatively affect so many industries.
It's also the case, though, that the polling shows that the opinions haven't shifted that much.
Well, then Brexiteers shouldn't be scared of another vote. Just to be sure this is what you want.
Just to be sure that this is what you want. How many more times, though, would you do that? Let's have another vote just to be sure that we really want to leave. And supposing by some miracle, and I say by some miracle because I believe that people are so disheartened and disenfranchised that even those who voted to leave probably might not turn out in so many numbers again. That's why they want another vote, because they know that we're sick of it. People are sick of it. So those who went out and voted leave, a lot of them just won't go. And that's what happened in the Republic of Ireland, by the way, when we said no to Lisbon. And they were like, really? We'll ask you again in a year's time. And we knew. They just keep asking. And that's what happens. He's a bullshitter. That was Howard Goodall there. And Bob Geldof writing letters to Theresa May. Give me a break, you know. What time is it? It is exactly 16 minutes past the hour. Let me read some tweets there. Good morning to Strong and Cable. Good morning. Good morning to Paul, who runs the Truth Seeker app. How you doing, Paul? Great app, that. Check it out. Good morning to Jen in California. Jen won't be listening. She'll be catching this later on. Heard from her a bit earlier on. It's very late or very early, whichever way you look at it, in California now. It's very early, in fact. 16 minutes past 3 in the morning it is there. Good morning to Gail. Richie, you're sounding gravelly voiced this morning. I am indeed. I've had a couple of heavy nights, Gail. Hi to Moinga. How you doing, Moinga? Nice to hear from you. Liz says he's been singing his heart out. Yeah, it's not much of a singer now, but I have been singing my heart out indeed. I want to say a big hi to Deborah, by the way. Salford Debs. How you doing, Deborah? Deborah Shelton, who lives in Salford, not too far from where I am, also attended ELO over the weekend and, like myself, was thrilled with the experience. Wonderful experience. Amazing night. Never forget it as long as I live. What about the so-called The Festival? Won't it showcase the best of Britain? That's a good point, Moinga. Delroy, good morning. Hi, Richie. Bob Geldof, I'm definitely annoyed, he says. Yeah, you and me both. Feathers R Us tweets, I bet the Freds are not on there, especially Richard. I've missed something there. Hi to David Kona, by the way. Only missing Bono from the list of signatories to that letter written by Geldof. Yes, mate, absolutely. Gail came back to say the arts are well supported by the EU, aren't they? Yes, they are. That's why the stars are moaning about Brexit. Yes, that's a good point. It's a very good point. It's why the BBC, of course, is overwhelmingly pro-Brexit. Because the BBC itself takes an annuity. It takes a lot of money every year from the European Union. Good morning to Base Ninja. Good morning to Shona in South Africa. How you doing, Shona? Great to hear from you. Good morning, Richie. Listen to your chat with Deborah Tavares. And the amount of info is overwhelming and a lot to take in. It's very scary as well. And it's hard to stay positive that we can change things. It is. Whenever I speak to somebody like Deborah Tavares, and that was the first time I spoke with her on any programme, I am mindful of the fact that it does sound like fear-mongering or scaremongering. It's not, though. I don't go in for a lot of that. I don't like a lot of that. We're all doomed kind of a thing. But the things she's talking about, and the things that Mark Windows spoke with me about, and Sandy spoke to me on Friday about, these things are actually happening. That's the things. These are the damned. What utter shit. How many of these multimillionaire rock stars fly around in private jets in and out of countries like royalty? Yes. Not even passing through customs. Yes. I was wondering when Geldof would be wheeled out again. It's been a while, he says. Good man. Bass Ninja, Geldof, etc. are just gits caring for young unknown musicians, really. The fee a bar pays hasn't changed in 20 years. The attitude of its music still exists. I work for a company that operates across EU doing lights and sound. I'm aware not much is going to change, says Bass Ninja. Good point again. Good morning to Dean. Where the feck are these voters who changed their minds based on a dodgy referendum? These Remainers have no shame. They have no soul. No, mate, they don't. We're going to take a very quick break. Good morning to Ian McKee. How you doing, Ian? And good morning to Laurie from Glasgow. Good morning, Laurie. Nice to hear from you, I think, for the first time. Right, 19 minutes past the hour. Very quick break. When I come back, what are we doing when I come back? Let me have a look. More front pages, I think. Sunday Telegraph next. And I've got some interesting stories coming up a little bit later on as well. I've not loaded the brake, you see. You see, this is what happens. This is what happens when you have a couple of nights out. This is what happens. It all goes to pot, but I'm here, though. I want some respect for that. I'm here. I didn't phone in a dodgy bullshit excuse. I'm here. Never do that. One thing I will never do. If I'm ever absent, it's for real reasons, not for any nonsense. Right, quick break. Back in a minute with more. With more. With more. What's happening?
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever. Forever.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
The Richie Allen Show relies on your support. Go to richieallen.co.uk and set up a monthly donation today.
Welcome back. There's a lot of Kavanaugh stuff. Brett Kavanaugh, he was confirmed as the as Trump's choice for the Supreme Court, and he was sworn in. Did you see all those women crying? Did you see that? There were women outside the building, and they were crying. Women who presumably have no relationship with, friendly or otherwise, with Christine Blasey Ford or with Kavanaugh. They're actually crying women. What's going on with the world? What's happening with people? We are becoming a narcissistic, vacuous... We're becoming a nonsense, aren't we, people, in the way that we behave over things when we don't get our way. It's crazy. Anyway, the Kavanaugh stuff, I've not got much to say about it. I think Andrew Marr, to his credit, and I've often bitched about Marr on this programme, when he was rounding up the newspapers with his own guests earlier today, Marr succinctly said at the end of that segment, listen, we're never going to know one way or the other what happened. But I have to say, I'm starting to lean towards my friend and colleague, I mentioned her earlier on, Jean-Anne Crowley, when I think... Kavanaugh might not be a nice guy. I don't know anything about him. But her story, yeah, maybe it's on shaky ground. Maybe it's on thin ice. I don't know. Another story that caught my eye, and I could not mention this. Forgive me for what I do, dear father, because I know not what I do. Scott Wilson died. He's an actor, and he's known for being on The Walking Dead. Scott Wilson was on The Walking Dead, and he died overnight. I wonder... will they shoot him in the back of the head twice just to be on the safe side? Just to be on the safe side. Yeah. Oh, Christ. That's not funny, Richie. No, it isn't. I don't know that man. And I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I couldn't resist it. It's an obvious gag. So it is. Lots of tweets coming in. You're more lively on the Twitter today than you normally are, by the way. I don't know what's going on with you, but you're tweeting me. Good morning, Jean-Anne. Speaking of Jean-Anne, I mentioned Jean-Anne earlier on. I wonder what Jean-Anne thinks of Paul Simon signing this letter with Bob Smelly, Sweaty, El Bollocks Geldof, demanding that Brexit be revisited because the artists are upset. And we loved Paul Simon. I wish we could un-go to the gig. Paul Simon, 24 minutes past the hour. This is Sunday View. And we're way behind now, so we are. Sunday Telegraph, Brexiteers offer olive branch over ports. Now, this is contentious, and there are some supporters of Brexit who this morning are beginning to think that Jacob Rees-Mogg, is a bit of a turncoat. Why? Because according to the Telegraph, leading Brexiteers, including Mogg, have backed a package of concessions to help unlock a Canada-style trade deal with Brussels. So senior members of the Conservatives' 60-strong European research group told the Telegraph they would support EU officials being stationed at UK ports after Brexit to break the impasse with Brussels. The MPs, including Ian Duncan-Smith and Jacob Rees-Mogg, suggest they would support the government enforcing EU rules on goods exported to the EU by firms in the UK. Now, I'm not going to get too deep into that, right? But there are those who followed this more closely this morning than me. Now remember, I am horribly hungover and I've only had about 4 hours sleep. I only get that anyway. But I've not had time to look into what they're proposing. But it looks like they're trying to meet Theresa May somewhere in the middle. But by doing that, they would, they would be basically giving the European Union, well, they would be basically giving them jurisdiction of sorts over UK ports. That's what I'm taking from it. But I'll be able to get into this more deeply tomorrow. So has Jacob Rees-Mogg, Ian Duncan-Smith and some of the other Brexiteers, have they turned, have they flip-flopped, are they given away to the European Union? They probably are, and nobody should be surprised by that. We'll catch up with that story, I think, tomorrow, because that's going to run and run and run, as they say. Right, Michel Barnier has been talking about this today as well. Right, now, also on the front page of the Telegraph, and this is very interesting, cannabis oil available on prescription within a month. Now, keep that in mind, because I'm going to talk about that later on. There's a very interesting story in the Sunday Times about the actress Leah Bracknell, who's battling cancer. UK listeners and Irish listeners will remember Leah Bracknell. She's still alive, thank God. Good actress. She was in Emmerdale for many years, a soap, but she's also done other stuff as well. And she's had lung cancer, despite never being a smoker. That always creeps me out, that. Because I've never smoked in my life. I've never tried it. Never even tried it. So repulsed am I by the idea of it. But she never smoked, has lung cancer, and she's been taking cannabis oil. So I want to come back to that in a minute, because there's a kind of a couple of contradictory stories in the news today. One saying cannabis oil will be available real soon. Another one saying it won't be. So we'll get to that a bit later on. The Sunday Times, UK war games cyber attack on Moscow. What's this all about? It's basically that British troops are taking part in a military exercise, and it's supposed to be the biggest one forever, including war gaming a cyber strike against Moscow if Putin launches a military attack on the West. Now, Vladimir Putin is never going to attack the West. There's never going to be missiles in the air from command centres in Russia aimed at the UK or France or anywhere else. It's never going to happen. Don't believe it for a minute. Don't believe the fearmongers. The Russians are never going to attack using ICBMs with a nuclear payload or anything. They're never going to do it. This is crap. But it's in the Sunday Times. It's on the front page. Now, Sophie Ridge, dear listener of Sky News, sat down earlier this morning with Richard Dearlove. Who's he, you ask? He's the former head of MI6. And Sophie Ridge asked him very interestingly. She asked the former head of MI6 about the nature of the Russian threat. So what did Richard Dearlove say? You might be a tad surprised by the answer.
We're no longer in the Cold War, and I don't see that the threat that Russia presents now is equivalent to the situation that we had during the Cold War. However, Russian espionage, Soviet espionage, has never stopped. It's deeply embedded in Russia's DNA to use the capabilities that it has to disrupt other nations, to pursue, you know, their own national interest, to, as it were, reinforce Putin in power. And you know, this is actually the attack in the UK, you know, I think fits a historical pattern. Russia historically has always used assassination as a weapon. It's part of the Russian political DNA. It's rather a terrible thing to say, but it's a violent country and they tend to kill each other.
No, it's a violent country and they tend to kill each other. It's not as bad as the Cold War. He told a bit of truth there at the beginning. He dropped a couple of truth bombs. Russia's not really any grave threat like that. It's not like the Cold War. By the way, Russia was never a threat during the Cold War either, dear listener. Russia's not too bad and all of that, dear boy, but they like to kill each other. And one of the things they like to do is they like to use assassination as a political weapon. Yeah, and do you know Richard Dearlove has killed more people than you've had hot dinners? That's the beauty of the media today. Richard Dearlove is on Sky News. And he's talking about political assassinations and how the Russians like them. And Sophie Ridge, if she had a bollock, if she had an ovary, would have said, but Richard, come on, I know you're no longer the head of MI6, but you've probably killed more people this morning, you know, than we have viewers. Or at least your former organisation has. Come on, you know. It's laughable, isn't it, for them to talk. I mean, I'm not saying now that the Russians are angels and that Russian intelligence agencies haven't and don't kill people. Of course, that's what they do. They're all killing one another. It's what they do. Now, interestingly enough, Richard Dearlove was also asked about Labour in government, and he was specifically asked about Jeremy Corbyn. What did Dearlove say?
Well, I think someone coming from my background is troubled by Jeremy Corbyn's past associations, some of which I find surprising and worrying. He may have abandoned them now, but I don't think you can entirely, as it were, dump your past.
What past associations do you mean?
Well, he...
Go on, give us a couple of names, Richard. Say Hamas, go on, say Hamas.
He has managed to be an enthusiastic... he's enthusiastically associated himself with groups and interests which I would not say were the friends of the British nation.
There is a real possibility that he could be the next...
No, Sophie, don't say there's a possibility he could be the Prime Minister. Ask him about his own associations. Ah, Sophie, go on. He was responsible for the murder of over 1 million Iraqis and the displacement of millions more. Sophie, please, you're a woman, have some fucking courage. Say to him, you're having a go at Corbyn because he met with Hugo Chavez and because he likes some of the Palestinian, the oppressed people, and he met with Hamas and all of that. But Richard, come on, you know. The Chilcot report, Richard, identified you as one of the chief architects of one of the greatest mass murders in history. Ah, Sophie, I'd love to wake up one morning. I swear to God, as sure as you are listening to me today, dear listener, as sure as I am here, if one of these presenters in the near future does their job and asks such a question, I swear I'll stop. I'll give up. There won't be any need for me then, or anybody else that does this type of programme. If she just says to them, come on, are you not haunted, Richard? When you close your eyes at night, man, do you not hear the screams? Do you not get a shiver down your spine when you go to the toilet, man? And you're having a piss and you've not turned the lights on the landing and you think there's something behind me. There is. There is the spirits of millions of people that you blew to fucking smithereens because you sexed up a dossier on the weapons of mass destruction. You got David Kelly killed. You probably signed the order to kill David Kelly, probably. Now that's libelous. That's libel if ever there was. Let me just retract that in case the lawyers are listening. I don't know anything about any of that. But I know that either MI5 or MI6 or both of them killed David Kelly because Kelly was basically blowing the lid on the whole web of lies. Just once, I'd love a presenter to just say, come on, pal, you know.
Be the next Prime Minister. I mean, could you see a scenario when the security services are effectively withholding information from him?
Would you withhold information from Jeremy Corbyn if he became Prime Minister? Well, he's obviously going to lie, right?
No. And if he becomes Prime Minister, he becomes Prime Minister. That'll be the democratic decision of the British people. And in that position, certainly not. I mean, you have to treat him as Prime Minister. So I wouldn't, as it were, I'm expressing concerns about him and his political past, which I think are pretty extensively shared.
Yeah,
by
I've got plenty of concerns about you, Richard, dear boy. Now, fair enough, a few minutes after Dearlove got off stinking up the Sky studio, John McDonnell was on. Now, John is Corbyn's best mate, and he's the Shadow Chancellor of the Exchequer. It's not beyond the bounds of possibility that in a few months' time, John McDonnell will be the Chancellor. All right? All right. So McDonnell was on, and Sophie Ridge asked McDonnell for a comment on what Dearlove said about his best pal. This is playground journalism. It's brilliant. Hey, John, do you hear what he said about Jeremy? What do you think? Anyway, have a listen to the exchange.
I'm not surprised. Look, this is a member, a reactionary member of the establishment, so I don't think he'd welcome a Labour government of any sort, to be frank, and I'm disappointed with him, but there you are. Can I just say to him directly, I think he should spend his retirement in quiet contemplation of the role that he played with regard to the Iraq war, where over 500,000 people least were killed. He was strongly criticised as the head of an organisation whose intelligence took us into that war. So I think he should have a bit of humility about the judgments he makes about individuals and others in the future.
OK, some very strong words from you there, Mr. McDonnell. Now, want to move on to...
Well, they were strong words. They were strong words from him, with the greatest respect. And if you look at the Chilcot inquiry, his organisation was strongly criticised for its role, and he was the head of that, and it had severe consequences, which we're even living with now. So I think he should spend his retirement with a bit of humility, quite honestly.
Good stuff. I thought McDonnell was good there. He could have went over the top, which I would have done. And that's why I'm me. I'm an idiot. And I speak without thinking. I would have said to her, when she asked the first question, did you hear what the former head of MI6 said about Jeremy? I would have said, Sophie, before speaking to me, did you have a shower in the break there, did you? Did you, love? Did you have to have a shower after speaking to that dirtbag? That's why I'm no good. I've not got a diplomatic bone in my body. I would have said, you must have scrubbed up there after speaking to him, love, that dirty bastard. Millions of people dead because of him. Millions. And you know, it's such an amazing thing. We've been so desensitised to it, to violence, and to even desensitised to the idea of mass casualties. And people just don't care. Ridge, the journalist, just doesn't care that she's sitting next to a mass murderer. She might as well have been sitting next to Ian Brady or Jeffrey Dahmer. Honest to God, like, that's not unfair, you know? This guy was happy to tell lies, knowing that millions of people were going to be killed because of those lies. You know, anyway. Here's an interesting question he was asked. Dearlove was asked. Sophie Ridge suggested to Dearlove that Labour stalwarts feel that the intelligence agencies are actually working to undermine Corbyn. In other words, there is a intelligence community briefing or plan to sabotage Labour. What did he say to that? Let's hear him.
That's rubbish.
Rubbish.
I mean, I think, you know, every government has been loyally served by the British security and intelligence community. And I imagine that every future government would be loyally served. So I absolutely do not agree with that. And I don't particularly like this concept of the deep state and somehow that some sinister power. I mean, it's just, conspiratorial thinking, which I think is inappropriate in a political context.
Conspiratorial thinking is inappropriate in the political context, he said. Of course, MI5, now he's MI6, former MI6, of course they work to undermine those they deem to be a threat to the state. David Shaler blew the whistle on this many years ago, didn't he? When he was working for MI5, that they were keeping files on and dirt on left-wing socialists, not this cultural Marxist progressive bullshitters today, but real socialists, real trade unionists. They were keeping files on them and trying to gather dirt on them in the way that many moons ago J. Edgar Hoover did against the Kennedys and others. That's what they did. So to say that it's conspiratorial and all of that, it's a bit of a laugh, really. Of course we don't. It's rubbish. Oh, God, Sophie. Anyway, Richard, dear love. It's 20 minutes to the top of the hour. We're going to take a completely 180-degree turn. We're going to take a left turn here. I'm going to take a very quick break. When we come back, We're going to talk briefly about teaching same-sex marriage in schools. We're going to talk about cannabis oil, which I mentioned earlier on. And we're going to talk about media plurality. What does that mean? But before we do that, I better read a few tweets because I'm getting behind with them. Good morning to Stephen Guinness. Hey, Dim Stephen. Personally, I hope these musicians do lose their voice as a result of Brexit and save us from the unending shite they produce. Great comment, mate. Good stuff. Laurie tweets, I've been listening to the show for 2 years, Richie. Very rarely get to listen live, and I don't use Twitter. Child-free this morning, listening while doing the housework. Keep up the amazing work. Well, it's not amazing, Laurie, but thanks very much for saying that. Anyway, lovely to hear from you. Lovely tweet that. Paul tweets, good morning, Paul in Spain. Good morning, Richie. I'm sending you some flowers for your brave effort this morning. More power to you. That was a lot of virtue signalling, that, wasn't it? About me being hungover and getting up specially for you. I wasn't that bad when I got home, actually. I was okay. Ian McKee tweets, lifetime actors peddling propaganda. If they don't do it, the skeletons will be released from the cupboard. Good point. And Nibdar tweets, good morning, mate. Richie, remember when Geldof, or was it Boner, described Blair and Bush as the Lennon and McCartney of politics? Nibdar, it was Bono. Bono gave a speech at the Labour Party conference around about the time of Live 8, which was a national embarrassment. It was back in 2005, wasn't it? 2006, was it? Live 8. Well, before the actual concert, which is rubbish, Bono gave a speech at the Labour conference and did compare Blair and which is actually Blair and Gordon Brown, not Blair and Bush. He said that Blair and Brown were the Lennon and McCartney of politics. Yeah, Bono stood there alongside two mass murderers and said that. I'll take Sir Bob's Brexit beseechments with the disdain worthy of the previous announcements by him, says Nibdar. Cheers for that, mate. Morning to Tommy B. There's too many tweets coming. I can't cope, folks. Give over. Good morning to Natasha in Liverpool. Top of the morning to you, Richie, from sunny Liverpool. Had me in stitches already and brightened my day. I have no idea what you were laughing at, Natalie. None of this is funny, but thanks very much for saying that anyway. I know what you're getting at. And there's Jen has stayed up in California. Good morning, Jen. I'm listening, Richie, says Jen. Stayed up just for you and the Sunday View. Much respect. Jen, thanks very much. But the truth is, having travelled for hours and hours and hours, you're too exhilarated to sleep. But I appreciate that anyway. Give your best to Shirley, your mum, as well there. Thanks, Jen. Nice to hear from you. And hi to Penelope and to Zach as well. Right. I'm going to take that break. When I come back, we'll talk a little bit about schools. And this is going to trigger people who think that I focus too much on matters of sexual orientation and gender politics. But again, you might be surprised with the way we talk about this today. There's an interesting story on page 4 of the Sunday Times. We'll come to that in a minute after a very short break. Sunday View.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
It's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever. Forever.
Welcome back to the most listened to independent radio show in Europe. It's your Richie Allen Show.
Yeah, one of the things that's very thrilling about doing this, and I don't want to sound precious or in any way, you know, fond of myself, but it's a thrilling thing. And when the programme first started, David Icke used to mention this all the time, when he would be listening and we would get tweets in from various parts of the world, like Ruth, who's just checked in from Australia and says, good evening, Richie, on Twitter. Ruth, great pal and great supporter of the programme. Good evening, Richie, says Ruth in Australia. Again, that's perfect timing. David used to say, what an amazing thing it is to have the ability to just broadcast online, and the fact that it can be picked up in various parts of the world. It's not about being big-headed. It's just a nice thing, isn't it? I remember one of the early phone-in shows when the lovely Himanshi phoned in from just outside Delhi in India, which was kind of life-changing, that. It made me realise just how small the world has become now because of the tinternet and all of that. Chris says, Richie, we did get to see Pink Floyd one last time at Live 8. That is true, mate. I'll give you that. Right, we better move on because time is pressing, as it were. That story in the Sunday Times, which I bought today, I bought the papers physically because I was so worried about the internet this morning. I bought that, so I've got the papers here. But just before we get to that, there are a couple of front pages I did miss out on. The Mail on Sunday, the tweet is, Army offers £10,000 golden hello to drug shame soldiers. Interesting story, I suppose. The Mail on Sunday says that numbers are down in the Army. There's a chronic manpower shortage. They're about 4,000 short of what they need, so they have basically started phoning up people that they've kicked out of the Army. This is kind of funny. They've kicked soldiers out in the past for taking illegal drugs. Now they're ringing them up and they're saying, do you want to come back? And if you do, we'll give you 10 grand. Wow. They must be gearing up for something, dear listener. We're not stupid, are we? You and I have been around a long time, haven't we? We've been watching this stuff with a different set of eyes than most people for a long time. They're bitching about 4,000 people short. They're offering 10 grand to people that have been given dishonourable discharges. They're gearing up for something major. And it's either Syria or Iran or both. Let's be honest about it. The Sunday Mirror, please jail our son, 14. This is the headline on the front page of the Sunday Mirror. Please jail our son. There's a little bastard who just can't be controlled, running around like a madman. And he's been arrested for more than a dozen times in 18 months. And the parents are saying that he's out of control and they've asked the police to stick him in jail. The parents must be a bit dim. It doesn't work like that. The kid will have to be convicted of something first and then sentenced later on. That's how it works. You can't just chuck him into jail, the little bastard. That's up to the father there. You know, I don't condone violence, but I mean, if he was my son, I'd knock 9 kinds of horse's shit out of him. And he wouldn't be getting arrested anymore. The Sunday Express headline is outrageous. The Tommy Robinson Brigade will love this. The Sunday Express leads with a story about an Albanian man convicted of murder, presumably in Albania. He's committed serious crimes in the UK, so he has. Yet he's still free and allowed to roam the streets on bail. That's in the Sunday Express. That's free to read online if you're interested in that. Now, let's go to the Sunday Times. Private primaries allowed to drop lessons on being gay. Private primaries allowed to drop lessons on being gay. Primaries means primary school. For Jen in California, Jen will know this. That's like grade school, isn't it? Is that what primary school is in America, Jen? Grade school. So children in private junior schools will no longer have to be explicitly taught about gay marriage, cohabiting couples or same-sex families, according to guidance that critics have described as a government U-turn. The watering down of the requirement in independent primary schools for children to be taught about alternative lifestyles, such as learning about gay and transgender people, has been greeted with alarm this weekend. The progressives are cheesed off. Oh dear, they're going to stop inflicting lessons about sex education and same-sex couples and gender identity to children. Oh, we can't have that. Now, the change is contained in guidance on the standards by which independent schools are inspected. This was put out for consultation in March by Damien Hines. Now, Damien Hines is the Education Secretary. Alan Smithers, how ironic, Smithers, Mr. Smithers, Professor of Education at Buckingham University, said, whether or not young children should be taught about LGBT issues and gay families in their schools has been a battleground for ages. This looks like a government U-turn. Jewish, Christian and Muslim groups have already resisted the requirement to teach alternative lifestyles with protests and placards. Maybe that's what will bring us all together. Jews, Muslims, Christians, Sikhs will all come together on this issue that you should just leave children alone and let them become whatever they want to become themselves. The Sunday Times goes on to say books like And Tango Makes Three. There's a book called And Tango Makes Three, which is about a gay penguin, a gay penguin couple who adopt a chick. That book is widely used in primary schools in England, but there have been protests against such teaching in some schools in cities. Since the passing of the Equality Act in 2010, state and private schools have had to teach about alternative lifestyles and sexualities to meet inspection standards. Critics fear that if young children are not taught about alternative lifestyles and sexualities, they will not be prepared for modern life and they will grow up intolerant. Heaven forbid they grow up intolerant. Anyway, Rachel Cunliffe is a journalist. She works for City AM. She was on Sky News today and Rachel was giving, well, the progressive point of view. Oh dear.
Yes, this is not just same-sex marriage. This is so-called alternative lifestyles. And at the moment, schools need to teach children about same-sex marriage, about other forms of sexual identities, and just about modern society. It's part of sort of British values and integration. Now some private primary schools are going to be exempted from this, particularly on religious grounds. And the argument here is that parents should be able to control whether their children, when their children engage with these concepts. But it's really an issue of making children ready for modern society. And the same-sex marriage one is the one that's in the headline there. But they've got examples here of an Orthodox Jewish school that put stickers over images in books of women in short-sleeve dresses, and one academy in Leicester that taught boys it was acceptable for husbands to beat their wives. And these are religious schools that are exempt from government rules on teaching children about the modern world.
Looking at it though, this article talking as well about private junior schools, not just religious ones, but it comes to non-religious private schools. Do they have to follow guidelines?
They do at the moment, but the worry is that if you let the private ones have exemptions, then there'll be a push for state religious schools to also push for exemptions. It's just about preparing children for Britain and for multiculturalism and for the world.
It's about preparing Britain for multiculturalism and for the world. Preparing children for multiculturalism and for the world. Now, she didn't realise there just how much she hit the nail on the head. Because it's not really about gay marriage or alternative lifestyles. Because I think most fairly moderate thinking, most ordinary thinking folks don't really care about same-sex relationships or same-sex couples getting married. I've got a big problem with adoption, personally, and I've said this year in, year out. I don't hide from that. I'm not ashamed of my lack of tolerance for same-sex adoption. I can live with it. I can live with the abuse that I sometimes get. I don't believe in the adoption, but fair enough. But as far as couples being together and all that, none of us care, really. But it's not about that. She hit the nail on the head there. It's about preparing children for an alternative future and for multiculturalism and to accept it even unquestioningly. See, it's a bloody drink. Unquestioningly. That is where it's coming from. Because ultimately, if you let them alone, children, historically, if you leave them alone, some children will be gay, most of them will be straight. Some will wear the clothes of the opposite sex. Let them develop into whatever they want. Some children will say, well, I don't feel male or female. Fair enough. Leave them alone. It's interesting that this story is breaking today. There'll be a lot about this in the news next week. I'm sure there will be debates and the LGBTQ++ ABCD. Some of them will go absolutely bananas over this and insist that these schools must teach in primary school the book about the gay penguin couple and them adopting and all of that, because they will say that it's all about tolerance and inclusiveness and all of that, but it isn't. What's wrong with having an opinion that differs? What's wrong with saying, well, I don't agree with gay adoption? It's happening. I can't do anything about it. The law permits it, so I've just got to put up with it. You see, that's tolerance. I'm tolerant of the fact that the law has paved the way for same-sex couples to adopt. I'm tolerant of it. I'm not screaming abuse at people. I'm not standing with placards in Piccadilly in Manchester opposing it. I don't agree with it, but I can accept the decision made by the state, even though I disagree with it, for millions of reasons. Leave children alone. Leave them alone. They will be whatever they want to be. And when your child comes back and he's with a boy or she's with a girl and says, "Mum or Dad, I'm gay," love them like you always did. That's what we've always done, right? Most of us? Leave them alone. And finally for now, this is a big story as well, because according to the Telegraph today, which I mentioned earlier, cannabis oil on prescription will be available real soon here in the UK. But there's contradictory stories coming out this morning. The Sunday Mirror runs a story about Leah Bracknell, who's an actress who was in Emmerdale most famously. And Leah Bracknell's given a very candid interview to the Sunday Mirror where she talks about taking cannabis oil, medicinal oil, at home. She's making it herself and says that it's as easy to prepare it as it is to prepare a cake. Wouldn't do me any good because I don't know anything about making cakes, but fair enough. If making a cake is easy, this is easy too. She says that without it, she'd be in serious trouble. It has reduced the side effects of chemotherapy and it's given her a sense of well-being. She's not in as much pain. But she's doing it illegally. Now, Nikos Soterakopoulos, I can't believe I said that properly. I practiced all day. Nikos Soterakopoulos is a very interesting man. He's a social sciences and criminology lecturer, and this is what he had to say about this. Very interesting.
Leah Bracknell, the soap opera star, is battling with cancer, and she says that she has been making cannabis oil by herself, and she says it's as easy as is making a cake. And she has seen considerable... cannabis oil has really helped her. With the side effects of chemotherapy and help her to deal with the situation. Now, the problem is that still using medical marijuana is illegal. Mm. Sometimes the government can make like a special favor and allow someone to use some exemptions. But the big issue here is, why shouldn't patients have a choice what to do with to alleviate their pain? And actually, we take it a step further. Why should everyone have a choice what to do with their body? But specific with these kind of cases, when these people are going through very tough times, the idea that they have to do illegal things in order to make something out of this horrible situation is something that is really, really worrying.
Very good stuff from Nikos Soterakopoulos. We've got to leave it there because I'm just out of time. Very important point he made there is, why should any third party tell you what you can and can't put into your body, particularly when it's a plant extract that has centuries old proven beneficial, positive effects in treating pain and treating other things? That's going to run and run as well, Leah Bracknell. That's it for Sunday View, by the way. Thanks so much for listening. I had two more stories to do, but I'm out of time. I've got to get it done by midday for the turnaround. I'll be back with you tomorrow, Monday at 5 p.m. And Gemma O'Doherty is going to join the programme, Irish journalist, and she is a presidential candidate in the upcoming Irish presidential election. Gemma O'Doherty, very interesting woman, was on this programme before, not for a long time though, but will be back with me tomorrow, Monday. And I'll have plenty more besides. I'm going to dedicate this to Deborah in Salford, who, like myself, is a massive Jeff Lynne fan and ELO. Thanks for listening to Sunday View. Look after yourselves and one another. I will see you tomorrow. Monday, right? Alrighty. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. I've really enjoyed this edition of Sunday View. Bye. Bum, 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 bum.